Let us pray for the world this morning. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for today, for your love for us. Lord, great is thy faithfulness. Even though many times some of us cannot sing your faithfulness because of the challenges, the pain, but you're always faithful, God. And today, as I share your message, I pray for your leadership. I pray for your anointing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My name is Fred, for those of us who are visiting for today. And it's always an honor to share with us a message today. last week, we had one of our leaders from Baptist Union, Reverend Graham, came here last Sunday and shared with us about focus. Refocusing was his message last Sunday. And we've been thinking about the same theme, because I believe God has a plan and a mission for us. I believe God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. God has a mission for us to partner with Him and be able to fulfill that mission. And today, as I share this message about how to remain focused, even in the midst of distractions, interruptions, whatever you want to call it, that God will help us remain focused on the mission that He has called us to do. The sickness will come. Pain will come. There's so many other challenges will come that can either pose a distraction, an interruption, disruption, whatever you want to call it, and switch your eyes off from the focus. Last Christmas, I was a little bit disappointed as a parent when we went to visit Africa, because I found a lot of young teenager girls that are meant to be in high school. Some of them have tiny babies, others are pregnant. Why? Because while at school, a young man came along and told them that, you know what, you're the only person I ever think about when I go to bed. That you're the most beautiful, pretty things that I've ever seen in my life. And they switched their eyes from the books and they followed this young man. And after they went away with this young man, she came back home and she was pregnant with a child. A teenager girl in high school, 9 months with a baby. Then after delivering, they have to nurture and become a mother. The focus of books changes. The focus of education changes. But I know it's not just about pregnancy. It's about drugs that has changed a lot of young people's society, that has switched off our young people from focusing on what God has called them to do. And now they're looking for every single penny to buy either a cigarette, a drink, or something to give them a bit of energy in a negative way. I want to challenge us today as Christians to pray, because the Bible says that when the foundations are done, what? When the foundation happens, what? No. When the foundations are broken, what do the rushers do? I give you homework to read that scripture because we have a call. We have a command. The Bible says when the foundations are broken, what do the righteous do? And today, as we look at this message, I want to encourage us today. Because there's so much that can cause disruption in our journey and in our focus. This can be pain. It can be sickness. It can be money. It can be in the cold sometime. That you went to bed, you're so focused to come and worship. The weather changed. And your focus just disappeared. And as we share the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is one of my favorite people in the Bible. If you want to get understanding of that story of Nehemiah, you need to look at the story of Ezra and combine them together. Because Ezra and Nehemiah worked so much together that they did not listen to the negative voice of vibes, negative stories. They marched forward and fulfilled the purpose and the plan of God. Let's read the story and then we'll share a little bit about that. The book of Nehemiah chapter 6 from verse 1 to 10. Nehemiah 6, 1 to 10. The Bible says that when word came to Sanballat, Tobiah and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it though. Up to that time, I had not set the doors in the gates. Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. That come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply that, hey, I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should I work? Why should the work stop while I leave it and come and go down to you? 4 times they sent me the same message. And each time I gave them the same answer. Then the 5th time, Sanballat sent his aide to come to me with the same message. And in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There's a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king. So come, let us meet together. I send this reply. Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head." Meant to give you that story. From verse 9, they were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. And I finish the last part. He said that one day I went to the house of Shemariah, son of Delilah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut in his home. And he said, let us meet in the house of God inside the temple. And let us close the temple doors because men are coming to kill you. By night, they are coming to kill you. Like I mentioned earlier, this is one man that was never frightened, never shaken. This is one guy that when he was called, if you can read the story from Nehemiah chapter 1, that when he heard about his brothers and sisters who had left exile in Babylon to go back to Jerusalem, they found life in Jerusalem was very, very horrible. The walls of Jerusalem had been brought down and they were exposed to the enemies. They were scared. They were vulnerable. And Nehemiah, with the help of the king, he went back home to be able to help to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. This is one man had a purpose. He had a plan. He prayed about it because if you read Nehemiah chapter 1, he prayed, he cried, he sought God's wisdom, and then he went to fulfill the project. Friends, I want to encourage us today. The things of God, we have to begin in prayer. I think the challenges we have today, prayer is not a big thing in our society today. We want to serve God, but we were so scared to pray. We were so scared to see God's leadership. We are so scared to see God's promise. Because I believe that if I've sought God, and God has commanded me to go, my focus will not change. If I believe in my heart, if I am convicted in my heart that God has asked me to go and fulfill this project, that even the disruptions, the distractions and everything else that is trying to delay me, to slow me down, it will not be able to manage me. Nehemiah 6 presents a timeless message. Number one, on perseverance. Number two, on integrity and reliance on God in times of adversity and distractions. The enemy's craftiness could not deter Nehemiah from the task at the hand of rebuilding these protective walls of Jerusalem. Next one. The wall had been reduced to rubble and left the Israelites vulnerable to attacks by the enemies. Nehemiah's unwavering faith and courage in the face of opposition serve as an inspiration for all us believers to trust in God's leading amid distractions. That if we can understand what God is doing in our society today, if we can just understand a little bit what God is saying, if we can discern and have a bit of a glimpse of what God is preparing to do, that these sideshows from the devil, these distractions, these things that are trying to pull us back, they will not slow us down from the plans and the purposes of God. One thing I like about God, that he can even use the unsaved kings like King Cyrus and other kings to join Nehemiah and fulfill his promise because he's God. And sometimes I ask myself this question, God, why don't you just declare that let the wall of Jerusalem be You can just declare a miracle and say, stand up, Mr. Wall. And it can happen. And sometimes I ask myself questions, God, why did you even allow this unsaved, uncivilized, barbaric people to destroy your very own wall and the temple in Jerusalem? But he's God. I may not get the answers today, but I know he's faithful. And he continues to be faithful. But I know many times we ask ourselves those questions, that God, if you love me so much, why did you allow this to happen to me? Why did you allow this report to happen to me? I saw my little 17 and a half years old niece holding a 2 months baby. And she got that baby when she was in high school. And I shed tears from my eyes. I love this girl like my very own. I thought of this girl. I remember many times we used to talk with her because the mother of this girl died when she was young. And many times we just love this girl. We always said we want to help this girl to study, to go somewhere. Because the mother who died and left this girl, this is my brother's child, that had a plan and a purpose for this young girl. And when I went home, I found this girl holding a small baby. I felt like a parent, very disappointed. I felt the pain. And I asked God, why? Why can this happen to my most wonderful niece? How does she even think of even to be a mother? She is not even 18. She doesn't have a job. She's in school. She's struggling. How does she even know how to even buy anything for this young kid? I want to encourage the young people who are listening to me today. Please, if your focus is study, don't allow the enemy to switch you off from the books. If your focus is work, ask God to help you to focus on job. For those of us who are parents, allow God to help you to focus on what the Lord has told you to do. Just quickly, I want us to look at the three things that Nehemiah experienced, and then I'll finish. Nehemiah experienced some of the devil's tricks and temptations. He says Nehemiah's enemies, the three of them, Sanballat, Tobias, and Geshem, seeing that Nehemiah had made the significant progress in rebuilding the wall, attempted to trick him into leaving his focus under the pretext of a meeting. It says in verse 2, come, let us meet together in one of the villages or the plain of Ono. You see, the devil does not come with this red light saying that I'm coming. You know, this with the funny figure, we draw in pictures, weird animal with horns. He doesn't come. The enemy is part of us. You know, the enemy is that person that is living among us. He's one of us. And these guys have tried everything to try and move Nehemiah from this project, and they've failed. And now they're inviting Nehemiah in today's context, for coffee. In that special restaurant, can we meet afternoon and enjoy a glass of coffee and a glass of wine? We can make peace, Nehemiah. You know, we were just funny people. You know, that time we don't know what was happening. The devil was tempting us. We can catch up and just have coffee and make up things, my friend. That's what the enemy does. And some of us, we fall in those traps. I've never seen this funny. Something is working in my friend. You know what? My friend has changed nowadays. He's even willing to buy me coffee tonight. Where do you want us to meet? The choice is yours. I want to take you to this favorite place in Melbourne. Choose your favorite restaurant and I buy you coffee tonight. And you show up in the evening and you dine with Satan and you fall for his plan and you switch off the focus of God. For this little girl, I'm not sure where they met my niece. But the next thing the parents saw was a young girl pregnant, running out of school. You can imagine the pain of her father. My brother was so angry that if he had a chance, he would have physically dealt with this kid, but he was held by the love of the mother, the father. The parental love just held him together, and he rang me, said, "Please pray for me. This is tough for me as a parent." I met a young lady a few years back. Tortured, physically abused, destroyed. And she was encouraged by counselors to go and get some time and just get healing. And after a few years, this guy came with a different language. And she fell back to it and they went and had a wedding again. And this time it was worse. I'm not saying that destroy your marriage. I'm just saying, you know, open your eyes and focus on what God has called you to do. Listen what Nehemiah said. However, Nehemiah perceived their ill intent and refused to leave his work. Not once, but four times. He said, "I am carrying on a great project and I cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?" This is a focused person. You can keep your peace. You can keep your coffee. You can keep your beautiful deal for you. I have good things to do for myself. I have a task that I have to fulfill. I pray that God will help us to open our eyes, that to say no to the tricks of Satan and go back and focus on what God has called us to do. And my prayer is, church, today. Today, it may not be Nehemiah. Today, it can be me and you. That the work God has called us to do, that we've switched off that work to go and enjoy the coffee with the three at a place. They're laughing at you and they're painting badly the name of your God. The second scheme the devil did was false accusation. The Bible says the frustrated Sanballat resorts to slander, sending a letter accusing Nehemiah of plotting rebellion against the king. It says in verse 6 that it says it's true that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt and therefore you are rebuilding the wall. Moreover, according to this report, you're about to become the king. This is treason. This is dangerous for the king. These are the same friends who are inviting this guy for a truce, for a peace meeting. They're saying now they're accusing him because he is plotting to become the king. They're even accusing that he has set the prophets to come and anoint him. And Nehemiah, being Nehemiah, Nehemiah denies the accusation, recognizing it as an attempt to discourage him and his fellow builders by saying, nothing like what you're saying is happening. You're just making this up from your head. It's another disruption and distraction. But my focus has not changed. I want to encourage us today, because Nehemiah is just like me and you. But Nehemiah made a choice. Before I talk about the third one, this one here, Nehemiah made a choice to focus on what God has called him to do. God gives a task to each one of us, depending on the grace and what we can do for him or with him. And we have a choice to make. People will accuse you. People will criticize you. People will say how you are not even fit for the task that you're doing. People say how you're not even suitable for that task. And I'm saying you can choose to give up the task and feel sorry for yourself, but you can choose to focus on the task and fulfill the promise that God has given each one of us. Nehemiah had that choice to choose to beg these guys on his knees because they accused him of treason. But he chose to focus on the task. He said, if I have to be arrested, it's okay. You can arrest me. But he chose to focus on the task. The last thing I want to share with us, number three, is the devil's deception. Nehemiah faced deception from within. Like I said, the enemy sometimes is within. When Shemaiah, as opposed to the ally, tries to manipulate him into hiding into the temple to save his life. He says in verse 10, that let us meet in the house of God inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you. By night, they are coming to kill you. You know, sometimes we think the enemy, the distractor, whoever you want to call him, is outside. This is an ally. This is somebody from within the priesthood, within the church circle, within the brethren, within the saints, you can call it whatever you want to call it, that is saying, you know what, my friend, my brother, I care for you. I love you. That if I can keep you in the temple, if I can just hide you within the presence of God, you'll be safe. Because we believe that the church can be safe. But I want to remind you, the church is us. It's not a building. Some of us, the enemy pulls us to be used for his benefit. But I pray that it not be you and I that the enemy can use to create a dangerous space for himself. I pray that you and I can be the safe space that those that seek refuge can find the same space in us and enjoy the peace and enjoy the healing and enjoy the presence of God. That it's only you and I that can create the same space, the safe space for people to come and express themselves. The pain they're carrying is just you and I that can create the same space for people that are grieving to come and receive the healing. But if you and I becomes an ally with the devil and create the house of God to become the safe space, I can almost guarantee you that God is coming for you. Because you and Saul, before he became Paul, is not different. We are persecuting his church. Nehemiah, realizing that this was another ploy to discredit him, and noting as a layman he is forbidden from entering the temple's inner areas, rejects the advice. He prays for the strength and guidance, mentioning the names of those sought to intimidate him, including the prophets of Naodia, whatever you pronounce it that, or Naodia for some people. What am I saying today, friends? What I'm saying today, the distractions can be a temptation to give the focus and energy that is needed for your goal to do something that often quite insignificant. The energy that God is trying to use is what the devil is trying to take away from you. Like I said, these guys, they tried every scheme. They tried the coffee thing. It never worked for them because this guy was so focused. They tried to accuse him with something that he never did. He was focused. He never went for it. They tried to use a priest with the safe space of the temple. He knew their scheme. He never fell for it. And today my question is, what is it that is distracting you? What is it that is pulling you and I from fulfilling the vision, the mission that Christ has given us to do? Maybe for some of us, the mission of Christ is to reach out to somebody and encourage them and speak to them about Christ. Like Graham said last week, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. That maybe you and I, that God has given us that mission to go out and do it. What is this stopping us? What is distracting us from doing it? What is it that is moving us away from reaching out and fulfilling that promise? In Genesis chapter 1, as I finish, Satan distracted Adam and Eve's focus on fulfilling God's mission in the garden. Adam lost his focus and went hiding. And I was just preparing this, I thought to myself, some people in our society today have lost focus and gotten into isolation. You know, the problem is in a society today that as many people lose focus, you get into isolation. And that's why if you look at the statistics, the numbers of mental health now, they've gone high. They've gone high. And God, walking in the garden, the man that was to be focused and fulfill his vision is hiding. And God is asking him and his wife, What are you guys doing? What are you doing? Did I give you the task? What happened to your focus? Maybe it's just me that God is talking to today. God is asking me, what are you doing? Why are you hiding? Did I say that you've done something wrong? Did I accuse you? Did I say that you've committed sin? God never accused Adam. God never stood and said, Adam, because you've done this like a parent, if I find you this evening at home, or like Jezebel, that by today, tomorrow evening, if I don't kill you, God is just, where are you? Where is the focus? And friends, you know, the devil is so wise that he used the same fruit that God had produced to distract these people. The same fruit. He never invented a different fruit. God had told these guys that, you can read in Genesis chapter 1 that I've made you in my own image. The Bible says, in the image of God they were made. But the devil is telling them that if you eat this fruit, you become like what? Like God. But they're already having the image of God. They don't have to eat the fruit to become like God. That's how when we lose focus, we go for nothing. Because these fruits in the garden, they belong to Adam and Eve. This was their mission. This was for them to manage. But it's amazing how the devil sticks one of these fruits and tell them, this one, if you eat this, you become like him. He's already like him. He's been made in the image of God already. Today, Christ is saying that you can become like Christ. Even with the challenges today, even the faults you have, he's saying, if only you can accept me with the challenges, with everything that you've gone through, with the pain you've carried, with the sins, everything, that if you change your mind, if you change your focus and say yes to me and become one of my children, that I make you like myself, you become like me. But you can choose to listen to the devil. You can choose to change that and listen to the false. Or you can choose to listen to Christ that is willing to take your sin for you and I, take it away, justify you, forgive you and I because of his grace and mercy, that you and I can become like him and live a life that was meant to be and fulfill the promise. My message today is, if Jesus was distracted, in Matthew chapter 4, what about us? You know, when distractions present themselves, as they often do daily, are you tempted to respond? Nehemiah had conventional focus that refused distraction and compromise. What are some of the common voices of distraction that we hear and first today? I want to invite the worship team to come back. And as they do come back, I want you to think about your own life. That what are some of the voices that are telling you? What are some of the things that you're listening that are moving you away from focusing on what God has called you to do? What are some of the challenges that are derailing you? Is it pain? Is it money? Is it work? Is it relationships? Is it the devil like Nehemiah that is trying to distract you from the focus using the things that God has given you to enjoy? Lord, we thank you today because of your faithfulness. That even your own very son, Jesus Christ, experienced destruction. But he never changed his focus of fulfilling the work that you've given us. In the wilderness with a certain, for 40 days, He never wavered. He never changed his focus. On the cross, what a destruction. But he never changed his focus. And today, as your children, Father, I pray, God, that may you help us to remain focused on the things that you've called us, to remain in you and understand the way that you want us to move. I pray today that those of us that are here are yet to make up their mind. I pray, God, may you help us to make that decision. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.